This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you look at the field goals, say, the college kicker and set that format record, what did you see on the 28th yarder?
Oh, just all across the board, we got to be better. Expect them to make that kick. Unfortunately, it didn't go through.
Wrong, not just one particular area. You mentioned putting a lot of it on you. What changes do you feel like needed to be made this week to ensure that those things don't continue to spiral?
Yeah, for us, we just got to go do it. We got a lot of cleaning up to do, which we go through the film and our guys understand what we have to do. But we just have to go do it. As I told our guys, we don't need a big meeting or nothing needs to be said or talked about. We just got to go do our job.
Coach, with the way that CJ played his rookie season, coming into his sophomore season, do you think that there was more added pressure for him to be, I know better than what he was, you always want to see improvement, but do you think that the bar was set entirely too high for him to be able to grow into that?
Yeah, for me, when it comes to the bar being set, who sets the bar for someone? There's no higher bar set for us as coaches and players than the bars we set for ourselves. So there's no added or external pressures that raises the bar. We have to live up to some expectation. Our expectation is always for our players, our coaches, to continue to grow and continue to get better. And that doesn't change.
D'Amico, one of the things that you said, and then the guys all said, they said you got to be more locked in. What is that? How do you do that?
Yeah, the locked in piece is just, I just look at it as being intensely focused on your job and being where you're supposed to be, executing the minor details of your job. It all comes down to minor, minute details that you get exploited if you don't do them the correct way, and teams find those and they make you pay. Right. And a lot of the things, as I talk to our guys about, is things that we can control. And that's where I place our focus, on things that we can't control, clean up the things we can control, and we'll be better.
Do you feel confident with these five on the offensive line, or are you open to maybe changing some things along there?
Yeah, our guys did a good job in the protection aspect of giving us time, and we can still clean some things up in the running game.
After the game, you mentioned that you thought the offense gave you enough points to win. After looking at the film, do you still feel that way?
Yeah, overall, as a team, I think we all have things to clean up, right? All three phases. Like, when you look at our tape and look at the game and what happened in that game, right, there are a lot of positive things that we would love to be highlighting today. A lot of big plays being made, explosive plays by our offense, scoring points for us defensively, getting sacks, takeaways, special teams, right? Explosive returns, creating a take. There are a lot of positives that happen with our team. But on the flip side of that, there are also a lot of negatives that negated a lot of the positives that we had. So for us as a team, collectively, we just have to clean up the penalties, clean up the negative plays that are happening, and everybody made enough plays. Our team made enough plays to win the game. Just the negative plays kind of overshadowed all of the positive things that we did.
About Jalen Petrie having sustained a pectoral strain, do you anticipate him being out for the rest of the season? Like, what's kind of like the thought process?
Yeah, Jalen has a shoulder injury. He'll be out for some time.
How do you put that into perspective for your players, even for, like, fans who, you know, when they see the negative, I'm sure players go through the same thing, but, like, how do you put that into perspective when you do have good things and you probably want to build off of it, but there are negative things that continue to happen? Like, how do you put that into perspective for them?
Yeah, for me, as I talk to our team, it's no perspective. I just tell it like it exactly is. So it's like, that's what it is. We put out really good stuff, but the negative stuff is just, it continues to hurt us. So there is no hitting agenda or anything. It's just get it cleaned up and get it fixed.
What led to the struggles in the rushing attack yesterday? Jarrett mentioned after the game there's some things that maybe Tennessee did that were out of character for what they had been playing on defense. What kind of led to some of the issues with the run game?
Yeah, what led to the issues in the run game, we didn't block them well enough, and we didn't finish our blocks. Like, we were on guys and we didn't finish. It was nothing that they did. Like, we just got to finish our blocks, especially when we're on the second level. We have to stay attached. Like, a lot of times we're getting up to the second level, but we're not staying attached on the linebackers or the safeties, and they're shooting a gap and making those plays. That doesn't change in all of football. Like, you work up to the second level, you have to finish, or the guy's going to make a move and make the play. So that's just the mindset for us. We didn't handle the edge as well, well enough to get the ball on the perimeter as well.
It seemed, you know, the follow-up on that point, it seemed like Titans linebackers were kind of saying, I'm waiting for the cutback zone, the cutback lane that Joe likes to hit a lot. He scored a lot of touchdowns off of that. What challenges does that present when a team is kind of taking away the cutback lane for an offense in the run game?
Well, it's, for me, is that as you look at, you know, the running game, it's, I don't think you per se take it away. If they're taking away, or we want to say they're taking away the cutback, then you continue to press the ball outside. So it's no, like, we just have to, again, be instinctive and play off of what we're seeing, right? Defenders are going to move, right? They're, whether it's falling back or playing too heavy over the top, whatever those second level defenders do, we just have to be instinctive, finish guys, be on the right spot, and then just play off of that.
Coach, that Will and Daniil played on yesterday, they were very destructive as far as getting to the quarterback, making some sacks, making some plays. Who would you compare those two that you may have seen or played against?
I don't. They're two, and they're making a name for themselves. So I don't put them in any other category. Some of the things that Daniil does as a rusher, I haven't seen anyone, you know, do have the moves that he has and the wiggle that he has just with the rushes, the plethora of moves that he has. It's just, I'm wild. Is there every time I watch him rush, and then the impressive clothes that he has as well on the backside to show the speed that he has. And Will, he's just continuing to get better and better of finishing, right, escaping at the top of the rush and finishing on the quarterback. Like, those guys are doing an exceptional job for us up front.
Derek Stingley Jr. was saying that communication is sometimes at the heart of the deep strikes that the other team has had. What did you see in terms of interacting with those guys, and also your film analysis of the deep balls?
Yeah, with the deep balls that we've given up, it's it comes down to making the play, right? It's being on the details of where you're supposed to be in coverage, right? And you got to make a play, right? And that's what it comes down to. It's nothing else, no other way to cut it. Like, we're in position, you got to finish and make the play.
Earlier in the year, you said that one of the things you wanted to do the most in year two was listen to your coaches more, listen to your assistants. As someone who's been a defensive guy his entire career, you've been a successful D coordinator, still doing a good job on defense. Is there any extra challenges, like when an offense goes through the struggles that they're going through right now, as kind of the overseer of everything, to where maybe you want to oversee it a little bit more than you usually would when you were just focused on defense before?
Now, for me, as I look at our entire team and being over the entire team, it's emphasis on everybody, as coaches and players, to just make sure everybody is on the same page what we're doing, and as players, make sure we're executing what we're asking to get done, right? And if we do that better, that's how our team will improve in all three phases.
I know we've been talking about for the past several weeks, the second half. Yeah. But what is it that happens where the players are not executing or more locked in the second half? Like, what can you put your finger on?
It's different plays at different times. I think when I look at it offensively, like we, you know, being there in third down and having two pre-snap penalties to put ourselves in third and long, like that can't happen, right? And those are things we can control, especially being here at home. Like, we have to control those things, and it goes back to the point of being locked in onto the snap and what we're going on, if we're going on to, whatever it may be. We all have to be on that. Like, that takes no effort, right? And we have to be on those things. And those are things, little things like that, that set us back. Like, or being in the right spot on a route, whatever the case may be, it's things like that that we're still hurting ourselves. So is that those things happen in the first half as well, right? There are mistakes that happen all throughout the game, but just the second half, for us, we haven't scored enough points. We haven't stopped enough people in the second half from scoring points on us as well. Defensively, second half, like, we have to make sure we play well as well. We've been outscored by a lot of points in the second half, and that got to keep them off the board, and we got to be able to score in the red zone.
Well, speaking of mistakes, CJ seems like he's taking on a lot of responsibility as far as the mistakes are made. How do you tap in as you step away from being a head coach and tap back into your player days to teach him how to flush those mistakes out and move on to the next play?
Yeah, it's my job to help all of our guys to make sure, you know, as the head coach, it's my job to make sure we're all locked in. It's not just CJ. Of course, he owns up to his mistakes, but it's not only CJ, it's everyone on the entire team. Like, it's not just him. Everybody has their one play here or there that can end up hurting you. But at the end of the day, mistakes happen in football, right? That's the game we play. Mistakes happen. Teams exploit mistakes sometimes. Sometimes they don't, right? But it's about how you finish the game. And we still had an opportunity there to finish the game, and we did it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
About some of the deep passes, what's kind of, how difficult can it be for, like, for example, the touchdown that Eric Berry got beat on to Westbrook? How difficult can that position be for a guy being off at 12 yards, having a guy come vertically at him? Like, what's kind of the balance of, you want to play your coverages, but also not put your guys in so much of a difficult position, because the guy going vertically at somebody at 12 yards off, that feels like a tough cover from your perspective. What's kind of that balance of still wanting to run what you want to run, but also playing people's strengths?
Yeah, we're going to run our defense. We just have to play the defense the right way. Like, so our underneath coverage has to be in a better spot so the guy isn't just running free. So underneath coverage has to be better, and our rush has to be better. So everything is tied together. It's not just highlighting one guy. That's not on E. Murray. That's on the entire defense, like, of playing the scheme the proper way.
Got time for a couple more.
Jalen be out for some time. What are you missing? What did he bring to this defense this year that you'll miss for however long he's out?
Well, Jalen has brought this, he's been a true impact player for us. Just being around the ball, just causing interceptions, forcing fumbles. He's just been really active, very instinctive player for us. He's been all over the field, and he's made a lot of plays for us, and just miss his instincts, miss his playmaking ability. We're going to miss that, right? So we got to pick it up, and we got to go. We got to move forward. We got to press forward. Whoever else steps in, we got to hit the ground running.